The United States Department of Agriculture releases a quarterly grain stocks report. It says we've more corn and soybeans on hand than expected. Might it signal a top of the market? We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Victor of Allendale. Our panelists today are Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois, and Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's open our discussion with this question. Is the harvest time top end? That even kind of sounds strange when you ask it, doesn't it, a top? But still, have we reached a top in the harvest time mode? We'll start with you, Brian Stark.
Well, I think it's going to be tough to for corn to regroup after seeing such a bearish number today. The 1.3 billion ending carryout coming into this fall definitely puts a fundamental bearish view on the market. I think the market's got caught up in the index funds jumping into the fray here in the last four or five trading sessions and kind of speculatively buying as the dollar has collapsed. And now we're back looking at the size of this crop. We've got a bigger carryout and the potential on the October 12th report to see maybe a bushel or two increase. Maybe this crop size gets to 13.5 billion. 13.6 billion. So right now, corn's feeling very comfortable. Hard to argue fundamentally for corn to jump back higher.
Ed Dunn?
I'm in the same boat on the corn there, Todd. The fundamentals are definitely pointing negative. We're going to have to add 150, 160 million bushels to the corn carryover. The yields, I would say we're at least two bushels higher, maybe three or four by the time it's all said and done. So the fundamentals there are negative. But when you look at wheat, you look at the worldwide situation as tight as it is, the fact that it's going to be called higher Monday again with the CRP announcement this afternoon, you just don't see corn losing a lot of ground. So maybe we're in a sideways pattern here through harvest in corn. Probably can continue to see beans and wheat move a little higher.
From the corn pit on a Friday afternoon, futures settled at $3.73 from week to week. That was down 3.5 cents in the nearby December contract. The high for the week at $3.89.5, the low at $3.70. Next year's corn down a penny and three quarters at $4.19.5. And once again, it was down 1.75. Corn stocks in all positions, as reported in the quarterly grain stocks report by USDA. On Friday morning, totaled 1.3 billion bushels. That was down 34% from September the 1st of last year. Of the total stocks, 460 million bushels are stored on farms, down 39% from a year earlier. Off-farm stocks at 844 million bushels are down 31% from a year ago. The June to August 2007 indicated disappearance is 2.23 billion bushels. That compares with 2.39 billion bushels. During the same period of last year, there were lots of downs in that list. Nonetheless, USDA September estimate at 1.3 billion bushels, as we said before, was above the average trade guess of 1.46. Given the continued demand, Ed Dunn, for corn, is there any reason to doubt that the disappearance, which went from 2.23 billion bushels compared to the 2.39 billion bushels during the same period last year, is there any reason that that disappearance, which showed a slowing by a 1.6 billion bushels from the USDA, was wrong? So did we actually use less corn than we expected?
I would say we did. Todd, I said the usage would go down. In fact, they're already talking about having to adjust the usage numbers on the upcoming supply and demand tables. And that's going to put into question a lot of things. You got to look at where the exports are so far this year, and that's where the encouragement comes from. Or we've been the only game in town, and that's what's provided the spark to keep corn where it is.
What kind of corn yields are you hearing from the Champaign County, Eastern Illinois area now?
I think really, Todd, 90% of the corn yields we've been hearing are 200-plus, ranging from 200 to all the way up to just shy of 250 on fields. They're absolutely amazing. I have no doubt that the size of the crop here in a couple weeks released by the USDA is going to be higher just by what we've heard here, and it's not just in Illinois. You hear in the southern part where they hadn't had much rain, good yields, same thing stretching into Iowa. I mean, the yields have just been tremendous.
Yeah, you drive, you get in your vehicle, drive an hour and a half any direction from Champaign, neck of the woods, you're not going to find much under 200, Todd. But I got a client I talked to over in the Lafayette, Indiana area, and he's quite certain of close to 1,000 acres of corn over there that made 100, 110. And you go over north of Indianapolis, and you're going to find a lot of the same things. So, yeah, the yields in this area, we're certainly going to set records in Champaign County, Vermilion County, everything here in East Central Illinois. But some of the other areas as we move east, not seeing it. And we haven't heard a lot out of Iowa yet, and it's going to be interesting to watch that one as well.
What do you think they've got? I know you have probably crop insurance coverage in the Iowa and the southern Minnesota area, or at least have been watching those numbers. The early reports, we heard one from the south central part of Minnesota where they were in the dry area, maybe 160 from the northwestern part of Iowa. Not probably as good as farmers were expecting to hear from there. I think maybe 140 to 180 was going to catch most of them. Is this going to change the idea of the marketplace over time?
If the corn yields in Iowa stay in that areas that you're talking about, it certainly could. You know, the early yields are tough to get an indication of what's going to happen. I think our office still feels we're going to see a lot of 190-plus corn out of Iowa, maybe not quite compared to the 200-plus here in East Central Illinois. But when you talk about Minnesota, the southern part of that state has done well, Todd, but the central part of Minnesota is dying. We've got several insurance customers up there that are looking at double-digit corn yields. They're seeing some of the worst they've seen in years.
Really bad corn in some places.
Really bad corn.
So tell me about basis. It strengthened over the week. That seems a little odd in the face of so much corn. The elevators, for the most part, maybe with the exception of the Andersons here in this part of the world, are shutting down and plugging up, and we're getting halfway through the harvest season. You're extending hours, I think, at this point. So, but basis levels continue to call for the corn.
Yeah, I think mainly it's a draw by you go south an hour and a half, 2 hours towards the Springfield area, and that's kind of the draw area for ADM, Tate & Lyle, and Decatur. And that corn harvest seems to be about three-quarters over. And in the CIF market, I think Ed alluded to either the export numbers have been great. CIF market has been fairly strong. Exports this week, I think, were 66 million bushels. So the processor in the central part of the state feels the need with harvest maybe wrapping up in their immediate draw area and the potential for demand to continue to increase along the river, coupled with the fact of maybe some ethanol plants slowing importing corn from Iowa that they've bought cheaply in the past, has driven them to see basis improve. And so that's why we, as one instance here in East Central Illinois, are trying to stay with the market. Contra seasonally, you wouldn't expect it. I think as you get into October and we get back to corn, the rest of the corn after the farmers are finished with their beans, I think as more elevators do get full and logistics from the rail side start to slow down, I think you will see the basis widen back out. I think it's just a temporary blip on the radar right now. Maybe not. Maybe the processor dictates the market and we stay strong and firm the balance of fall. But I have a feeling that if the corn stays as good as it is, the basis won't be at these levels here by the end of October.
Hey, Ed, do you think that corn will move lower in the month of October, low enough that the crop insurance will pay off?
That's going to be a regional answer. East Central Illinois, you know, I don't think we can take corn low enough that quick to make it happen. The yields are just going to be too strong. In the areas where they're average to maybe 5 bushels either way from an average crop, if we can get these corn down 30, 40 cents from here, that's going to happen. So I guess my answer to that is no. I don't think we're going to get cheap enough to pay a lot of insurance claims this year.
Let's turn to wheat just a bit. December contract, 961 and three quarters the high, the low at 870. Settlement price at $9.39. They were up 65 cents from last week. July at 681. Up 52. Wheat keeps climbing, and you tell me that the CRP has changed again And that's going to put another bump into the marketplace, isn't it?
Yeah. Acting Secretary Connor came out this afternoon with the announcement, Todd, that they are not going to release any more acres without penalty. So in other words, the 2 million rough acres that are going to come out on SEP 30, that's it. He's decided it's basically going to be a market competition type of situation. They did not follow the lead of their foreign counterparts who are starting to release set-aside acres. So, again, the market's going to continue to fight for it. We're not going to get any help from the government on that side. And I think there's too much pressure from the environmental side to probably allow that to happen. Todd, we're in an election year. And I think that that the government decided that wasn't going to be in the best interest. So, yeah, you start looking at what's going to happen with acres next year without those extra CRP out there. Look for that tug of war to stay on.
Well, speaking of that tug of war, how high is high in the wheat bit? $9.39 was the settlement. $9.61¾ a top in the marketplace for the week. We just keep moving upwards. Where can it go?
Well, that's the million-dollar question that we try to answer about 10 times a day in our office. I think we're going to see wheat get over $10 here, Todd. I think you're going to see soybeans continue to climb. We might not see that rally here in the next 30 days because we're fighting through a large crop. But as you move down the road, you're going to see those two commodities be fighting for acres and fighting for acres. And then the corn S&D, it doesn't point towards a rally, but it just has to keep up.
When you talk to farmers as they come into the elevator, I don't know whether you get a chance much to talk to them, but I bet you see them on occasion. They might be running back out. Do they say much about soft red winter wheat in this area or in the areas that you service and increases in acreage?
Well, I think the universal question is yes. I think they're all looking at it, especially you look at today. This is the first day that I can remember in a long time where new crop July wheat gained on the old. That was kind of interesting to me. So maybe the market is telling us that we need more wheat. And from a farmer perspective here locally, I think you've got guys talking that haven't planted wheat in 15 or 20 years, putting out a 40 or an 80. But the key is going to be, can they get the wheat seed? Wheat seed's in very high demand, and I think they may be looking at poor qualities if they can't find it. So if they can find the seed, I think it looks like an attractive option at this point.
That's exactly right, Brian. The wheat seed has been very difficult. We only know of one dealer that's really offering incentives to go out and plant their hybrid of wheat. Otherwise, people are being turned away. Another side of it that we see is from the crop insurance perspective. County insurance products are not offered this far north. You got to go down by Interstate 70 and south in Illinois and basically the same kind of line into Indiana. So guys that don't have a yield history, they can't really buy insurance on wheat, and so there's some concern. If they can't buy insurance, should I plant it? And I talked to three or four guys that weren't going to do it. They thought they'd throw 50 to 100 acres out there. They're not going to because they can't get decent crop insurance.
Well, can't they just cover themselves by going ahead and hedge it out on the Board of Trade or in some other form?
Yes, they can. And we've actually heard stories of two guys that have done that, and they've had to buy it back because now they can't get the seed. So, you know, there's several things restricting them at this point. Down to $6 cash wheat sold, had to buy it back.
One other option I just add, a lot of our guys that look at it to build that history, I know it's not a great option, but a bare minimum is to take out a catastrophic policy, if nothing for else, but to build that minimum 4 years that's required. And it doesn't give as good a coverage, obviously, as a CRC or RA product, but I think that's one option guys are considering, at least taking out something to that extent.
Oat futures finished 289¾. They were up 5.5 cents from last week. Soybeans, November contract, a high this week, $10.17¾. The low at $9.70. They settled 12¼ higher, $9.91¼. The settlement price for the nearby Novembers. Deferred November contract 08 at $9.64, up 21.5 cents from last week. The old crop soybeans stored in all positions. According to USDA's quarterly grain stocks report for September the 1, totaled 573 million bushels. That was up 27% from September 1 of last year. It's the largest September 1 stocks on record. Soybean stock stored on farms totaled 143 million bushels. That was down 19% from a year ago. All farm stocks at 430 million bushels, up 57% from last year for the all farm stocks. And the indicated disappearance from June to August of 519 million bushels was down 4% from the same period a year ago. Anything out of the numbers for the beans that really took you by surprise on Friday morning?
Well, the sheer volume, just what you rattled through, is what the market took into effect today, Todd, and that's why we saw double-digit losses. But I think as we trade next week, I think we're going to take the attitude, been there, done that. We've never been worried about the stocks of soybeans that we have in our face right now. It's what are stocks going to be, you know, fall 2008, fall 2009, if we don't continue to add acres, we're going to run out here in the U.S. Also problems in South America, dry conditions down there. With planting, just don't. I'm not looking for this stocks report to take the soybeans and send them back another 50 cents. I think we're gonna hold it together.
I kind of agree with that. And one thing I'll add about the South Americans is the Brazilian real continues to strengthen relative to the dollar, which makes it unattractive to expand beyond the 3 to 5% the industry or the traders are kind of expecting. And that's what needs to happen. We need 8 to 10 million acres in the U.S. And if we don't, you know, with the biodiesel, I think right now projections from some analysts say even at 20% of capacity those plants use, we could run out of bean oil here in the next year. So I think it's very imperative the bean market stays firm going forward and trump corn and even fight wheat to some extent to get acres next spring.
From the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle October contract at 97.92 and a half top this week. The low at 96.55. They settled 25 higher at 96.95. October feeders at 116.30 were up a dime. October lean hogs 61.75 for the high. The low at 58.35. Their settlement price at 58.90. Finished 245 lower. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Joe Victor of Allendale.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. A strong cold front brought an end to the hot weather this week, as well as some rain to most of Illinois. While the rain did slow harvest activities for a day or so in some areas, it is badly needed across most of the state. Strong southerly winds ushered July-like heat and humidity into Illinois this week. Temperatures reached the low 90s over much of the state, with 95-degree highs recorded at Decatur, Jacksonville, and Winchester early this week, with a 98-degree reading at Hudsonville last Sunday. The week ended with temperatures back down about where they should be this time of year, in the 70s. Showers and a few thunderstorms developed ahead of the front as it moved south on Tuesday and Wednesday. Most of the activity was scattered and most places did not see a lot of rain, generally a half inch or less. The heaviest rain fell in southern and southeastern Illinois, along and north of the Ohio River, where up to 2.5 inches of rain was reported. Warmer weather will return to Illinois beginning on Sunday, and along with it will come a chance for some rain in northern Illinois. A chance for showers will develop across the northern two-thirds of the state by midweek as another cold front tries to push through the state. Temperatures will likely continue at or above normal next week as the cold front will probably wash out and southerly flow will then become reestablished. In general, the weather should continue to be favorable for field work most of next week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is WILL Urbana.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Spend more time harvesting and less time pledging. WillPledge.org.
Our guest on Commodity Week today is Joe Victor. He joins us from his Crystal Lake office, where he's the director of marketing for Allendale. Prior to coming to Allendale in 1991, our guest was a grain merchant with Seeger's Grain. And previous to that, he served as the department head of agriculture at McHenry County College. Good afternoon to you, Joe. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Tell me, when you look across the whole complex of grains, what is the most interesting number you think is available to you to see today?
The most interesting number has to be the quarterly usage for the wheat. You know, with the stocks of 1,717,000,000, that's 939 million bushels of usage. That is the highest dating back to 76-77, with the exception of 1998-99's 987 million. This implies a drawdown of 35%. That is a full 5% above the most recent 3-year and 5-year average. And that it remains the key focus. That's where the spotlight is. because of the fact everything that we're raising this year in the United States, we're exporting 50% of it, whereas corn we're only exporting about 18 to 20%, soybeans typically 33 to 36%. But the world is definitely shopping the U.S., and the impressive figure is again that domestically we've also have strong use of the wheat. So that is the most impressive number of the day.
Does that suppose then that the wheat market will continue to push higher in order to try to attract acres? Is there a place at which it gives up, or at which acreage will come in from other places around the globe?
We believe that it's more of a timing issue because, you know, we've got problems not only here in the United States. We had the frost freeze Easter weekend, smaller crop in Canada. They didn't get as many acres planted. Bigger problems in the European Union. We're supposed to be handing off this baton that once we fill the world demand, we're expecting that places like Canada and the European Union to pick up and feed the demand. The problem is that there are end users right in the EU and Middle East background that would normally go to the EU and find their supply. And the EU is raising their hands right now saying there's nothing that we can do about it. Well, who's next in line? We are getting a little support from Russia. There is some support from Kazakhstan. And who's next in line is Australia. And what we do essentially is every day we walk in this office and we look at the 7-day precip outlook, and we're trying to find a word that's even more horrifying than bleak, because that's the situation that's going on in Australia right now. This is a country that had drought last year, was planning on a 26 million ton crop, would definitely remain the number two exporter in the world if they could follow through with that crop. But now you've got a country that's looking at between a 14 to 15 million ton production and is going to fall from number two exporter, possibly down as low as number four out of the major five exporters. Who do we wait for then? Argentina. And they're not done with their harvest until January. So it's more of a timing issue than anything else, Todd. We're seeing a situation develop that the demand is definitely there. You know, we've got about average of 50 million, 51 million bushels of wheat sold every week in the export market. And essentially what that tells us is with a little bit more than, 34 weeks left in the marketing year for wheat. If we continue to average this 51 million bushel a week, we're going to fill the commitment that USDA has set at 1.1 billion bushels in 5.5 weeks.
You know, I got a question for you, because at 15 million metric tons, and they're number two in the export market, but 15 million metric tons, even 26 million metric tons, Argentina and Australia combined are a drop in the bucket in the total production of wheat across the globe. Most of it's put out in the northern hemisphere. Why would not, and I understand India was buying, but why wouldn't some of that wheat be freed up out of India? Why is it that the European Union, why would they not go to the highest bidder at some point? Why would that not shake out when they're in the production of 105 or 115 million metric tons as opposed to these smaller amounts?
Well, again, we're looking at not necessarily the demand sector is looking for where the supply is.
Well, the supply is in the northern hemisphere.
The available supply is coming out of the United States, a little bit coming from Canada, a little bit from Russia. But again, the situation in a country like France, the number one exporter out of that EC27, the demand continues to... Remember, too, it's not just necessarily about price, mm-hmm. but our quality this year is relatively decent. A little bit suspect for hard red, but the quality of this crop and the price competitiveness that we have with the rest of the world, the quality of this wheat crop this year has been very good. Spring wheat, soft red, and hard red. And again, what we're doing is we're trying to find, for those end users, where is the available supply? And it's nowhere else to be found right now other than those four locations. And to the point, again, you know, as one of the gentlemen said, you've got the European Commission going from 10% set aside to 0% aside. We're not going to see that fix. And again, we're telling our customers, when you intend to plant wheat, we're not looking at the $9 stuff that's on the board. We're looking at a $2.50 discount for new crop wheat futures. And that 650, 660 benchmark, the one thing that we get concerned about is if Argentina does, in fact, come through, and they can feed the Middle East, Northern Africa. Our concern is we get into March, April time frame of 2008, and if Argentina's crop is looking relatively strong, then we say, you know, all that wheat that we sold in the late summer, early fall of 2007, then is when you have to be very careful, because those end users that are buying wheat at $9 are going to see a $6.50 discount on new crop and say, guess what, you can have back. But again, it's more of a timing aspect. What is the alternative? There really isn't an alternative out there for milling quality wheat. You know, it's not like we can switch for soybeans for protein tapioca. I mean, in Eastern Africa, what they're doing is substituting sweet potatoes for their starch needs. There isn't a great global supply of sweet potatoes that the majority of these millers can hang on to. And that's what they're trying to do, is a place like China, strong crop, but trying to control food inflation. Russia slaps a 10% export tariff on its wheat, 30% on its barley. They're trying to protect at home. And I hope the United States doesn't do that. And I hope the United States understands that, yes, stocks are tight, but there's no reason, if we have anything more than a bushel by the time the new crop comes in 2008, I don't believe we ought to be placing export restrictions or slowing the exports.
I know a bureaucrat in India that may have bought low and decide to sell high because he's in trouble at the moment.
Well, there's one interesting thing about India. The State Trading Corporation flat out told the state grain buyer that they aren't going to give the specific date, but they did go long futures. They saw what happened a year ago, not only in the wheat market, but they saw what happened to the corn buyers a year ago, the contra-seasonal rally, and they said, we don't need to bang our thumb twice. The State Trading Corporation says, we're long futures. Buy the wheat through us. We'll source it. We'll go out and find it in the world. When that wheat comes in, the business that we're doing is taxable income for the country of India. And for whatever reason, India decided to buy their wheat from Glencore. And they're taking a pause because they're catching a lot of heat from their political parties. They're taking a momentary pause. And all we can say is if we do see this wheat market starting to roll back on the old crop, is it a buying incentive until that Argentina comes online? And we believe that the world demand for wheat, we're already, 821 million bushels of wheat has been sold for export versus 358 last year, 466 the year before. We're 109% above the five-year average.
Well, Joe, we appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you.
Joe Victor is the Director of Marketing at Allendale. He's located in Crystal Lake, Illinois. And we'd like to thank Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing and Brian Stark of the Andersons for being with us as well. Ed, any final word today?
Well, I know the big question farmers are facing
right now with the excess corn bushels, do I store it or do I sell it across the scale? Even though with the slight basis appreciation, we still see basis and futures getting better once harvest is put away. Our opinion is if you can get storage for less than 20 cents to January, go ahead and put it in there and be patient.
And Brian Stark.
Final thoughts today, Todd. Continue to have a safe harvest. Take your necessary downtime, and it'll be interesting to see how this acreage battle unfolds over the next 6 to 8 months.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access Commodity Week and our other programs on the web. Just visit willag.org. That's willag.org. Have a good and a very safe harvest week. I'm Todd Gleason.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Create a Pledge Drive perfect storm. Visit willpledge.org.